very thankful for your prayers. Thankful to be here. There's something that stirs inside me too, to hear the songs and to hear the word of the Lord. I'm to know the joyful sound. I'm thankful for that. I'd like for us to consider a passage this morning in 1 Kings. Bible story that we know well. Consider a man of God, a man that the Lord took notice of in his day, Elijah. Know the story of the idolatry that was in the land of Israel at that time under Ahab, Jezebel, and strayed quite a ways from the Lord. Got to a point that Elijah felt surely he was the only one. Felt pretty alone. You know, we can get to feeling that way, I believe, too, in our time, in our day. But at this time and this setting that I'd like for us to consider this morning, whenever the Lord chose to show Himself before the prophets of Baal, Elijah had called and summoned for the prophets to be gathered together, that this would be their opportunity, this would be their time to be able to demonstrate, to put to the test God. You know, God's been put to the test over and over and over again. Time after time, He's been put to the test and He's yet to fail, nor will He ever. Whenever Moses and Aaron are put to test before Pharaoh and his magicians, and they were able to produce the serpent as well. But I'm so thankful that our God is not a God among gods. I'm so thankful that He is the Lord of lords and the God of gods. And as they were there and put to the test in their time and their setting and their generation, God was faithful and true to those who were faithful to Him in their time and in their testing. And whenever they were put to the test and proved, the serpent that they cast down, or the rod that they cast down that became a serpent, consumed all the other serpents. To be able to demonstrate you have power, you have some ability through the power of the enemy, but there's no power like under the power of our God. Whenever Daniel was put to the test, and what a test it was, whenever Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and was troubled by it and wondered the interpretation of it, and he had those that he would resort to. He had those that had some understanding of the heavens and astrology, and those that fashioned themselves to be magicians and all that, with wisdom and answers, and yet there came a point that they came short. Their God failed them. Didn't have the answers for them whenever their time of need came. They were left speechless before the king. Nobody can do this that you've asked. Nobody can produce the answers and the wisdom. It's impossible. But oh, I thank the Lord that I serve a God that is an impossible God. I'm so thankful that I serve one when all the gods of the world fail, yet He stands true. He's there ready, and I believe today He still wants to show Himself, and is still proving Himself to us. To our world today, He wants to find a people who are faithful and in a place that He says, I can show Myself strong in your life. So I'd like to read just a bit of the story here in 1 Kings 18. Beginning in the 21st verse, Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men, a little bit outnumbered. Felt a little bit in the minority. But the Lord's never had to resort to numbers. He's never had to take a poll to determine what truth is. He's never had to try to resort or look to man to count his people and how many folks are gathered down there in Laranger versus the folks that are gathered at the casino. The Lord is just looking for somebody. It's given to Him. It's faithful to Him. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal. Now listen to this. From morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But what do you know? I added that. There was no answer. All morning long, they called and they cried and they petitioned. But one that isn't can't answer. One that's dead is not able to respond. And it says there was no voice nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey. Or peradventure he is sleeping and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Little burden this morning is getting God's attention. You know, these people were in a place that they had some degree of confidence in their gods. Perhaps it was all they had known by this point. Forgotten the one true God, lost sight of Him, gotten their eyes fixed on the imaginary gods of the world, of Baal. But you know, they weren't the first ones. Throughout time, people have, for one, they felt a need to worship something. Felt a need and a recognition that there's something more that I need to pay reverence and homage unto. The children of Israel, if you'll remember when Moses departed for just a short time to go up into the mount, they turned in just such a short time desiring to have something that they could see, that they could lay eyes on, that they could look upon, and they turned to a golden calf. But the people here, as they tried to call upon the gods that they had served, that they had spent their lives giving themselves unto, whenever the real test came, there was no answer. But there was, I can imagine here in this setting, a rising sense of desperation. The pressure's on now. Elijah over there with, if you'll give me the liberty, kind of sounds like maybe a little smirk on his face. And he's watching. Knowing all the while that this is what would happen. Knowing that there was no other God that could send fire and consume this sacrifice. And they see that and recognize, we've got to do something here. We're desperate here. Well, He's not hearing us. He's not listening to us. So let's cry a little bit louder. Let's start to jump and let's start to leap. And He's still not answering. So maybe if we afflict ourselves, let's take the knives and start to cut ourselves and until the blood rushes out. Surely He'll notice then what we're doing unto ourselves to try to get His attention. But yet there was no answer. I remember being in India, driving along the road headed to a little village called Palani, noticed a number of people that were walking along the side of the road, dressed in mostly in orange, walking barefoot along the road, hot, dusty, and dry. I was in my air-conditioned car driving along, but I saw just a string of them for miles and miles along the road, and began to ask and inquire about it, and it was a Hindu pilgrimage, one of many. I'm sure Brother Ed has seen similar scenes there in India of those that their religious ceremonies and religious feast days, as they took off on a pilgrimage up to 100 kilometers that they would walk. Their custom is, in order to, and I've tried to read and study a little bit, and I'll confess it makes my head swim. The contortions that they try to reason and figure out of a God and what God is and what He requires and where He came from and all, but in the shroud of mystery of their minds and the darkness that they're groping in, trying to come up with someone that they can worship and pay homage unto and that they can depend upon and trust in, they want to get His attention. And so they determine that you can't wear shoes on this journey. You've got to afflict yourself. You got to walk, and it gets mighty hot over there. If you can imagine the heat of that blacktop road that they're walking down, or the dust that they're trying to walk in along the road, and for miles and miles and miles on end, for days at a time, walking, and not only just walking, but carrying gifts unto their God. Upon their shoulders, they're carrying bundles of wood or structures on their shoulder, and a sacrifice, an offering of some type unto the God. And as they get nearer on their final day of their pilgrimage, they come to the village there where the temple is located. There's an old, almost dried up, muddy river that they ceremoniously go down into to purge themselves, they believe, to be cleansed and bring their sacrifice and offering, and begin the trip walking up the mountain, on top of which is this temple that contains a statue of their God, bringing their gifts unto Him. Put a little paste on the forehead of their God and leave it for a little while and say their God has to sleep. He gets tired. Oh, I know a God that doesn't get tired. I know a God that doesn't get sleepy. I know a God that's not dependent on a little pace that I can bring unto Him, but He's created all things. And to be able to share with souls that are in darkness, that's another thing to share. But to be able to tell of a God that wants to look down into your life and your heart, there's no gifts big enough or grand enough that can really impress Him. There's nothing that He's standing by in lack and in need saying, I want to do for you, but I can't until. I'm handicapped, or I'm limited because. But this is a God that we can get His attention. Taking gifts into a God that doesn't hear, that can't answer. But that's the place that the people here found themselves. Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Know the rest of the story. The stones that he built up, the sacrifice that he put on it, the water that he put around it, almost in excess, going above and beyond. I want to make very clear unto you, this is a God that surpasses all other gods. But I want us to notice here, as he had prepared the 36th verse, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things of Thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, that Thou hast turned their heart back again. You know, it didn't take them all day. You know, he didn't have to start chanting and raising his voice and doing some kind of a dance and cutting himself and all those kind of things. But a simple prayer of a man that feared God. Of a man that had respect unto his ways. You know, I want to be able for myself. Lord, I want to be able to get your attention. I want to be able to get a hold of you. I want to be able to touch the throne in my generation. He was put to the test here. He was before an unbelieving and a skeptical world, a group of people that were looking on and they didn't have much understanding. You know, the best understanding that I can share with others is not just in the words that I speak and in the theology that I share with others. There's so much of that permeated throughout our world today. But to be able to be in a place that I can get a hold of God, to be able to be in a place that the fire can fall, so to speak, on my life, on the little simple sacrifice that I bring to the Lord. Lord, I don't have much to bring that I can impress you with. Lord, I realize, as we heard already, my righteousness is as filthy rags. But I want to come and present a sacrifice acceptable unto the Lord, a living sacrifice unto Him that He can look down and that we can have an assurance. You know, I see in this just a calm assurance. Not a big demonstration. Not a big show like the world is looking for today of an outward demonstration. Of an outward, and so many that would confuse what the power of God is. What the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is. You've got to work something up and generate something. And there's got to be lots of jumping and shouting. And folks, I want to encourage us, if the Lord puts a song in your heart, let the gates of praise be open. But you know, the blessing of the Lord cannot be manufactured. The blessing of the Lord and of His Spirit cannot be produced of our own works, of our own hands, no matter how high we jump, no matter how loud we shout. The time for us to get a hold of the Lord, whenever we desire, Lord, meet with us. Send the power down, Lord. It's not just when we get into this building. But it's the life that I'm living before I ever enter these doors. Lord, I want Your favor and Your glory to be able to be shown. The blessing of the Lord that cannot be counterfeit or reproduced or manufactured. But all with simple faith and assurance. And the sacrifice, the blood that's already been shed, that it's not in my... Oh, I'm thankful that we don't have to depend upon our own works. For how could I ever know when I've reached good enough? How could I ever know when I've done enough now? Where I've now crossed the threshold that I've gotten the Lord's attention. But I'm so thankful for the assurance. I'm so thankful that we can... yet come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence in Him, with an assurance, with a clear heart coming before the Lord as Elijah did here. Oh Lord God, remembering who He is, remembering and having faith and confidence in the One that we're coming unto. He said, "Oh Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel." I've heard the stories. I know of how You've worked in the past. Lord, it's the same God I'm coming to now. And it's the same God that we approach in 2018. The landscape's changed. The world around us and society and culture looks much different than what Elijah looked out upon. And yet in so many ways, so similar. The Lord still desires in our day to have some Elijahs. To have some people in the corners of the world and the community that we touch that are able to get a hold of the Lord in simple childlike faith by a life that gets the Lord's attention. Mankind in the flesh looks for that's appealing to the flesh. They like to look for where the big church buildings are and the ornate decorations and the beauty of the building and the size of maybe the crowd that's in the parking lot. It's one of the things that we contend with sometimes in foreign countries, and of those that would see a large temple or a large building, and it's beautiful, and it's you see all the people that go, and there's something happening there. There's something going on there, and there's a draw that I want to be part of that. There's something that calls after the flesh. There's something that I want to see something happening. But you know, the Lord wants to show us something so much greater. He wants to show us the greatest gift of all time that was ever given. Was given in the lowest building that you could imagine. A little stable. You know, it's really no different today in the way the Lord wants to show Himself to us. I'd like for us to look at Isaiah chapter 66. Well, we can't leave here till we finish the story. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Folks, it was something that convinced them. It was something, you can have your questions, you can have your skepticism, as the man that had been blind that Jesus touched and opened his eyes. Whether this man is a sinner or not, I know not. And how he did this, and you have all of your reasoning and your theology, ever learning and yet never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I don't know all those things. I'm not smart enough to play in that league. But let me tell you what I do know. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. There's no arguing with the fact that I was blind yesterday and yet now I see. The greatest living proof to salvation. The fact that salvation works. That it works in my life. That it makes a difference for me. I'll tell you, I was touched whenever I heard the testimony Brother Ivan shared. Whenever an attitude starts to creep up inside. Because I felt that. To know that there is a salvation and a grace that works in our hearts and our lives. That'll change an attitude. That'll turn around a mindset. Folks, you think that won't make a difference on the world around us? May the Lord help us that we be in a place of presenting an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. That a world that's looking on, skeptical though they might be, though they maybe have been burned, so to speak, by false religion and hypocrisy and whatever else the background, Lord, help me to live it on them. Lord, help me to prove the love of God. Help me to show what peace and joy of salvation is. Isaiah chapter 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all these things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. It's a little different than the gods of this world. This is the man that I'll look unto. This is the man in your and my generation that the Lord is still looking for. That can still get God's attention. Because I don't believe it's the temples, though beautiful by art. I don't believe it's, and I love the beauty of the saints singing, inspired and sanctioned by the Holy Spirit. But it's not the beauty of the harmony, for the world itself can produce that. It's not the volume. It's not the excitement. It's not the jumping. It's not the leaping, the outward demonstrations of emotion that produce it. Sometimes I believe people can get the cart before the horse. I know what I want to try to produce. I know what I want to be. I want our services. I say amen to what Brother Marty said. I want to see the joy of the Lord demonstrated. I want to see it on faces and in the different various ways that the Lord lays on your heart and that you have of expressing it. But I want to be able to see that joy. I want to be able to feel that Spirit as we collectively come together. Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing, I believe, more heavenly than to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, together with His people. Whenever you feel His Spirit like a wave just moving over the assembly, and it has a way of touching and ministering to the needs of my soul. Oh, there's no replacement for it. There's no counterfeit for it. It's all that's left is empty, shallow counterfeits if we lose that. We have nothing of ourselves that's worthy of any kind of honor that will truly feed the soul without the Spirit, without the Lord's blessings. And you know, we're really not entitled to it of ourselves. Look at who I am. Or Lord, You owe this unto me. To this man will I look. Lord, help me to be this man. Help me to be this man in my life, on my job, with my family, in my congregation, before I ever come in these doors, because I want to bring the blessing of the Lord. I want to be led by the Spirit as I come, and I want you to do the same. So when we come together, the blessing of the Lord can flow from heart to heart. I'd like to look at a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3. First part of it may seem a bit out of place, but let's consider chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, it tells me that there's a way that I can live, that I can conduct myself, that hinders my prayers, that hinders my ability to touch the throne of God, that hinders my ability to get through to the Lord. May the Lord help us that we, in our marriages, in our homes, in our relationships one with another, in our dealings with mankind, and the one that we are before that sees all things, that we dwell before Him in a way that He can say, that's my son. That's my daughter in whom I am well pleased. You remember the scene that we see of the enemy coming and presenting himself before the Lord in the case of Job. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant? You know, the Lord, I don't know that Job even realized that that scene was going on. Oh, I wonder how much sometimes we don't see. Now, we don't understand. But this thing I know, the foundation of the Lord standeth firm. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. There's nothing that's hidden before Him. You know, in times when maybe the enemy would come as the accuser of brethren, would try to bring doubt, would try to bring accusation. Lord, I'm seeking You, or I'm in time of affliction, I'm in time of need here, and I'm praying, and it just seems like my prayers aren't getting anywhere. You been there? You know, Daniel was too. If you read the account of Daniel, whenever he set himself to seek the Lord, he did so for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Fasting, praying. If you set yourself to seek the Lord, you know, by the end of the first day, Lord, about time, Lord. I'd like to hear an answer now. Second day, Lord, I'm getting kind of hungry now. Lord, do You have something for me? Lord, I need help here. I'm feeling desperate here. And it seems like silence. Daniel was there for 3 weeks. No answer. Nothing. But after 3 weeks, the angel came to him. Daniel, rise up. I'm come to you. And you know what he said to him? From the first day that you set yourself to seek the Lord, your prayer ascended, and because of your prayers, I am come to you now. You know, we have this assurance and confidence that whenever I walk in knowledge and obedience before the Lord in sincerity of heart, I can have the faith that He hears those things that I bring before Him. That we have a petition with Him that I can know though I may not see for a space of time. He said from the very first day, I've seen you all alone. Daniel, you felt alone and you felt forgotten, but my eye was on you the whole time. Oh, aren't you thankful that the eye of the Lord is open unto the righteous? That His eyes are over us and His ears are open unto our cry. That the Lord, He said of the priest, that they would have written before them the names of the tribes of Israel. Folks, we have a great high priest today who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that knows your name and knows my name. In our time of trouble, it's written before Him. I have graven thee, He said, upon the palm of my hand. In other words, I can't forget you. I'm not going to forget you. Folks, we have the blessed privilege today of being able to get the Lord's attention, of being able to be written on the Lord's hand that He sees and He knows. We read in Micah, the 6th chapter. It says, will the Lord be pleased? Talking about thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil. Is that what's going to be pleasing to the Lord? Is that what's going to get the Lord's attention? Lord, look what I've done for you here now. Lord, look at all this that I'm bringing before you now. Surely, Lord, this is going to make you sit up and take notice. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. What is it that the Lord is pleased with? Matthew 6 and 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What a shallow reward. What a short-lived reward. I say my prayer and maybe there are those that take notice. Generally, I would be prouder of myself than anybody else is. They hear the prayer and they look on that and it's over just like that. Folks, I'm so thankful that we don't have to walk down a road with something on our shoulders, that we don't have to climb up a hill on our knees in hopes that maybe my God will take notice. The Scripture tells us not to be as men pleasers, but pleasing God, as doing service unto the Lord in everything that I do, the life that I live. Paul said, herein do I labor, that I might be accepted of Him. It's why I do what I do. It's why I sacrifice how I sacrifice. It's not for the honor and praise of men. Lord, I want to get your attention. And those attention-getting moments are so often behind the closed doors, in the closet, when nobody else is looking, before I ever get to service or before the saints are ever watching. Lord, I want to spend some time with You. Lord, I want to get Your attention right here. I want to be like Daniel, who was able to get the Lord's attention day after day. You notice Daniel did that long before the lion's den threat was ever made. And it'll be that way, I believe, with our lives. Before the time of testing ever comes, before you ever get to your Mount Carmel, will be the time when I've already made contact with the Lord. That I've already been talking with Him. I already have this assurance and confidence in who He is. And then when that testing time comes, but I've seen people, and no doubt you have as well, the boss man comes around the corner and all of a sudden they snap to attention and busy themselves when before they had their phone out checking Facebook or playing Candy Crush, if they still play that or whatever it is. And all of a sudden the boss comes around the corner and I'm back at it, hard at work now. That's not the way we do service to the Lord. But I'm thankful that the Lord sees and knows all things. When nobody else knows this little sacrifice that I just made, Lord, I want to do this for You. Nobody else knows I'm fasting today. Lord, you know. Lord, I have confidence and an assurance that you're looking down and that you see all things. And I want to be able to present a sacrifice that's acceptable unto the Lord. I'm reminded of Noah whenever Noah, after the wrath of God was shown upon the inhabitants of the earth, and he was spared through the flood by the ark as he descended down out of that ark and did the thing that was most fitting to do. Lord, I want a sacrifice to you. Lord, I want to offer something to you. I want to give my homage and respect and to tell you thanks and to show my love and my devotion unto you. The God we read there that inhabits heaven and earth. All these things that mine hand made. You ever get to feeling pretty small sometimes? I think the Lord wants us to. To this man will I look, to the small man. Whenever he offered that sacrifice, you know it says the Lord smelled a sweet savour. Read in Revelation that that golden vial of odors that's brought before the throne represents the prayers of the saints. It gives us a glimpse into the spiritual realm of the throne of God. If you can imagine the picture of that, the Lord smelling, in other words, getting his attention. What's that? I smell something. I recognize something here. There's something that got my attention here. Stephen got the Lord's attention, didn't he? Whenever he was in what could have been his darkest hour, yet as he looked up, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Got his attention now. He's not distracted. He's not looking. He's not having to try to cut himself and get his attention. There was the Lord looking down. And while the veil was opened up for Stephen in a way that maybe it never will be for us, to be able to look up and see that scene. Folks, we can have the same assurance, the same confidence in God, that if I present myself a living sacrifice to the Lord, that it'll get the Lord's attention. Not because of who I am, but I'm thinking of a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. You know, in a world that's reeking of hatred and variance and strife and envy and pride, you know the Lord wants us to carry forth this sweet-smelling savor to the world around us, and not only to those that are around us, but it says we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. You know, that's what is so beautiful to the Lord. The Lord will beautify the meek with salvation. The Lord will invest in us of Himself. And that's what makes us beautiful. That's why the Lord looks on and recognizes, oh, that's a part of me. I recognize that. I see that. The way they handle that, I recognize that. That's of my spirit. That's what I've put within them. Oh, Paul's prayer and desire for, it said, unto the believers, unto the little children, until Christ be formed in you more perfectly, until His image might be manifested more and more in your life and developed. May that be our prayer as well. Lord, I want you to be fully formed within me. I'll say I've been challenged in this meeting. Lord, there's some places that I realize, Lord, I want some help here. Lord, I recognize that I'm thankful for the call of the gospel, for the sweet sound of His Spirit, because it doesn't drive me. Instead, it's something that calls and draws me. It says, child, I've got something more for you. There's something here that I can offer you, something better than what you have. I want to be able to present that sweet savor unto the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to be able to have availing prayer, and my burden and desire for us as a people is that we might be able to have that fire still falling on us. Individually, it's where it starts. It's where it must start. Collectively, as we come together, that savor would be there. The world would be able to smell, and most importantly, that the Lord would take notice of it. The Lord would be able to see and would be pleased to come down and meet with us and to bless us. I'm thankful today, and I'm persuaded we can still get the Lord's attention. It's not going to be the ways of the world goes about it. It's not going to be what religion looks like to the world. But you know, a meek, humble, frail little child of God that the world may look on and mock and laugh can yet get the Lord's attention. There's power in that. There's power in being able to touch the throne of God. And that's my prayer for myself and for every one of us. God bless. Amen.